I always get stirred and excited when I get here amongst the people and where God is moving and what God is doing. Amen. And it's just so important to keep ourselves stirred up. Amen. And we do that by purposing to be in the right place at the right time. You know, as we purpose to be a part of God's word and to know who he is, you know, the Bible talks so much about knowing God, and it talks about knowing God in the context of knowing him in an intimate level, a personal level, and in a way where you know each other. Amen. And it's just we have such a wonderful God that he's not just someone who's, you know, like the Greek gods where they talk about it and they, you know, maybe they do different things on the earth if they're not happy. But that's not the God that we serve. We serve a God who is a God of love, a God that's a personal God, a God that wants to personally be in touch with us. Amen. So much so that we know this around 2,000 years ago that he sent his son, Jesus, praise the Lord, to come to the earth, to live as a man, to live amongst us, to show us how to live, to show us what his will is, to show us what his desires for his people were, and his desires for the entire earth were. And he came here to live as a man, and he paid a price on the cross, a price that we couldn't pay. He shed his blood for us so that we could walk in victory, so we could walk in all the goodness of God. Amen? And what an exciting thing it is. What a wonderful God. You know, many people, you know, many gods, it's always about what you can do for them, but our God, it's about what he has done for us. And I'm just so thankful for that. I'm thankful for it all the time. You know, I said last night in the message, of course, by the direction of the Holy Ghost, you know, I was talking about how our lives aren't defined by one bad day, and aren't you glad? Amen. Our lives aren't defined by one bad week, and aren't you glad? And our lives aren't defined by a bad decade even, and aren't you glad? Praise the Lord. But our lives, God looks at our lives as an overall thing. And so reason I bring that up is because even if you've had a bad go at things for a little while, even if you maybe been off, or you just haven't known what to do, or maybe you haven't been in faith at all, how many know that your life isn't defined by that? As long as you don't as long as you determine not to live in that flow, amen? Praise God, hallelujah. And so God isn't defining us by one bad moment or by one mistake or even many mistakes, but he's defining us by how we connect to him, how we connect to his word, how we connect to his people, amen? And all these things are intertwined and together. When you connect to God's word, you'll connect to God's people. You'll connect to God's ministry offices. You'll connect to the Lord himself. You'll connect to his love. And this is exactly what God has for us. So in this season, praise the Lord, let us not forget about the price that Jesus paid for us. Let us not forget about what he's doing, and I don't believe that many of us are, but God is still moving on the earth today. He still wants to do things today, and I'm just overjoyed even at the thought of it. Amen? Praise the Lord. Well, today's message is called It's Time to Listen. Glory to God. And we're going to be talking about, you know, listening to God. We're going to be talking about listening to what he said. You know, God started really speaking. Well, God has always spoken to the people of the earth, his people. He's always spoken to them in one form or another. But really, in this season is about listening. Amen. We know it's, you know, some folks call it the Easter season, and other folks will get offended if we call it the Easter season and not the Resurrection Sunday or Resurrection season. But, you know, it doesn't matter, praise God, as long as the focus is right. Words are words, you know, in the sense of, like, you know, our words are important. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that. Of course, we preach the importance of our words. But, you know, God is not looking for the spirit, not the letter of the law. He's looking for the spirit of the law. In other words, he's looking for your heart on the issue, amen? And so it's how we receive. It. Do we receive this right? But this season is about listening. It's about listening to what God has said. It's about listening to what God has done and what God wants us to do. Amen. Jesus didn't just pay the price on the cross so that we could go to heaven, even though that's a wonderful thing, a wonderful thing that is a result of it. Praise the Lord. He didn't just pay that price for that. He paid the price so that we could live for him. Amen. So that we could live for God. So that that one bad day wouldn't define us. Amen. And so that we could have many good days in the presence of the Lord or in the sun. Praise the Lord. That we could go through this life always with hope and expectation that there's something on the other side of it. And aren't you glad for that? Amen. I'm just so, I get so excited because my life has been a life that's been marked with failure, a life that's been marked with adversity and things, you know, just not hitting the mark, you know, even as a pastor, I didn't get fully sanctified, amen, and that there's still times where I miss it. There's still times, areas where I look back and think, man, I'm such a terrible pastor. But, you know, and those are moments. I'm not saying I think about that all the time, But you know, the truth of the matter is God has us here because he saw fit, amen? And because he saw something that the rest of us couldn't see, amen? And I'm not just talking about me, I'm talking about you too. That God wants to use us. He wants to use us where we're at. And a lot of times we come into church, we have in our life that are hindering us. But if we'll listen to God, if we'll follow the Lord, if we'll hear his voice to us, amen, he will lead us in a path that is always blessed. He'll lead us in a path that's always free, amen. Glory to God, hallelujah. And that stirs me and excites me, praise the Lord. Hope it does to you. We're going to start here in John 10:27. So why don't you go ahead and turn with me there. You know, and when I started this message, when I started preparing this message, I really didn't have much to go on. Actually, all I had was John 10:27. And so I decided to meditate on that. You know, sometimes, and this is about, it's interesting because the message is about listening to God. And as Christians, we need to learn how to listen to God. It's very important that we learn to hear God's voice. Amen? Praise the Lord. And one of the ways that he does that, or the primary way that he's going to do that, of course, is through his word. He's going to speak to us as we read his word. And what do we mean to speak to us? You're not necessarily going to hear a voice, but what's going to happen is as you open the word, there will be things that will seem to stand out to you. There will be things you'll even, at times you'll even be like, man, that's my favorite scripture. Amen. I remember back when I was about my daughter's age, praise the Lord, I was about 12 years old or so, and I got this poster with a scripture on it, and I loved it. It was this poster, and I think it had a picture of a knight on it, and it was Ephesians 6:12. Amen. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities. Right off the hand, my quarter's not working, but we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but it goes on and talks about what we do wrestle against, the principalities, the powers, and the spiritual wickedness and the heavenlies, all these things. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. And, you know, it was at that time, it was the only scripture I knew, but it was also my favorite scripture. Amen. How many know it's good if your favorite scripture is also the only scripture you know? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. It works out good that way. But, you know, that was just because I didn't know more scripture. I didn't learn other scriptures. You know, but every once in a while, I'll be going through the word and one scripture will pop out at me. And I almost get that feeling like, man, that's my favorite scripture. Just, you know what I mean? Like you read it and you're like, woo, glory to God. And I was reading a scripture all day long maybe, and it didn't make me want to dance, but man, that scripture made me want to get up and sing. That scripture made me want to shout. That scripture made me want to do something, amen? That's God speaking to you. That's the most basic way that God is going to start speaking to you, amen? And when you learn that, when you spend time doing that, God will speak to you in many ways, amen? He'll show you many ways that he'll speak to you, but they'll always line up with that original way, amen? So why do I say all that? Because as I was meditating on this scripture, I didn't know. I knew that there was something in it that the Lord wanted me to minister on, but I didn't know what it was. So what I did is I did just what we're supposed to do, and I meditated on the scripture. I kept going back to it. I would read it. I would read it out loud. I would read it in my mind. I would think about it. I'd pray in the spirit a little. I would do all these things back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And then all of a sudden, the flow started happening, amen? That God started revealing more of what he wanted to say. And that's exactly how he'll do it with you too. So we're there, John 10:27. Why don't we read the scripture, amen? Jesus said here, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Glory to God. It's a simple scripture. It's pretty to the point, amen? But it's a very important scripture. You know, we're supposed to be, of course, we're, you know, as a pastor, I'm a shepherd of a flock of sheep. You are the sheep, praise the Lord. That's according to scripture. That's what the Bible calls it, amen. But, you know, even more so, we are all the sheep of Jesus, amen. I am an under-shepherd underneath the chief shepherd, which is Jesus, amen. But Jesus said that my sheep hear my voice. And so that's the first thing that we need to understand about God here today is that God's sheep hear his voice. They know his voice. You know, in the context here, when it says they hear his voice, it's not just that they hear him audibly, but they recognize his voice. They recognize that this is God speaking to me, amen? So how can we do this? I want to put this in the most basic level. How do we take this back? Because really, sometimes, you know, it's good to get right back to the basics of our faith, especially in times like these, amen? Praise the Lord. When you open the Word, the first thing that you have to know is that this is God speaking to you. Yeah. When you understand that everything that is written in here is God speaking to you, or is a way for God to speak to you. Amen. Now, this is God speaking to us, and there are different things written for different people. Not everything applies to us in action. Amen. We don't put to action everything we see in Scripture. Glory to God. We're not going to go eradicate a race of people. Amen. We're not going to go shout at the walls of Jericho and have them come tumbling down. You know, we're not going to do those things. It doesn't mean that they were wrong. Of course, there's reasons that God had those things done. But we understand that there are principles in here that apply to us, and that God will speak to us through those principles. He will speak to us through the knowledge of that the things put forth in this book. And this is why it's so important to recognize that this book is how important this book is to us, because as we recognize that, we'll be able to hear God's voice in other things. Amen. The problem is when people sit there and start thinking, well, you know, the Scripture that was written so long ago and it doesn't apply. Listen, if it's true, it doesn't matter if it was written 10 minutes ago or 10,000 years ago. Truth is truth. And if it applies, it applies. You know, God's truth, he said, I am the Lord. I do not change. Praise the Lord. We know that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so we know these things according to Scripture, that God doesn't change, that his will, his purpose, his desire has always been the same. Amen. And therefore, his word is always going to be the same, because his word is his will. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, if you can sit at home and you can learn that the Scripture is God speaking to you, that it's his voice to you, glory to God, if you know that that's the first place that God's going to speak to you, then you're going to start being in a good position no matter where you go, because you will be able to recognize truth every single time. Every time something happens, you'll look at it and say, maybe you'll look at it and say, that doesn't seem right. But you know that it's not truth because it doesn't line up with the word. But see, if you're somebody who doesn't believe the word, take the word and say, you know what, this is truth, you'll never have that basis to weigh things on. Everything is just your best guess. And let's be honest, most of our best guesses are based on what we how we feel in the moment. Amen? How many decisions have you made in your life based on how you felt in the moment? And you know, I was just thinking about this. There's a certain type of furniture I love, a certain era of furniture that I love. And over the years, I had collected some, you know, and I had gone through some different periods of time where I had some really hard times in my life. And in those times, I lost everything that I had. You know, I went from having most everything that I wanted, in the sense of, you know, not necessarily specific things, but just in general, you know, I had, a house, I had a family, cars, job, all that stuff, and everything from that standpoint looked fairly good. But I went through a period of time where I had lost all that stuff too. And in that period of time, I had some of these pieces of furniture that I love, that at the time when I had them, they weren't such a popular thing. But now, because, you know, everything goes in cycles, it's gotten to be where these things have become more popular. And every once in a while, I'll see a picture of something that remind me of one of those pieces of furniture I had. And I also sometimes see a price tag on it, and I'll be like, oh, that was worth quite a bit of money. Yeah. And I remember a few of them just went into the dumpster because of how I was feeling at the time. Some of them I just threw out because I was just upset, or I was just mad, or I was done with it, or I was, you know what I mean? And now I wish that I wouldn't have made those decisions. I did the same thing with, I had a bunch of albums that were, that at one point when I got to be a Christian, you know, I just figured, well, I got to get rid of all this stuff. I just got to purge my life of anything that has any remote sense of evil to it. And I just kind of threw them all out. Whereas I could have found out later, I could have made quite a little money out of it. And at the very least, I could have donated it to the church, praise the Lord, even if I didn't want it myself. But my point is, and I'm not saying, you know, it is good to get rid of things that are bad in our lives that draw us, but not all things that aren't specifically God aren't bad. And what I mean by that is all things in this world that we can experience. For example, I don't see anything in the Bible about donuts. Praise the Lord. But donuts are good to have once in a while. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. And so, yes, Mighty Fine Donuts. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. There's a little shout out to Mighty Fine Donuts. Don't go there by yourself, but do go there and get a donut. Amen. Praise the Lord. They're so good. It's the best donuts. Oh, they're so good. Glory to God. Anyways, we'll make decisions sometimes based on how we feel. And that's not based in truth necessarily. We want to make decisions based in truth. Amen. We want to make major decisions in our life based in truth. And that's why it's so important to learn to hear God's voice. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. and I know them. Amen. Now that word know, I've been in that word know a lot as I've been studying these things out for last night's sermon in Corey. I had studied it out too. And that word know is the Greek counterpart to the Hebrew's word yada. Amen. And I've always thought this was interesting. I remember putting these things together back in the day. You've heard the Jewish, some Jews would use a phrase, it's a yada, yada, yada. And this was kind of a popular thing back in the 90s and stuff because of Seinfeld and all these other things. They use that phrase, yada, yada, yada. And I never knew what it meant. But then come to find out that literally that word yada is the Hebrew word for to know or to have knowledge. Amen. And so literally when someone's saying yada, 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 literally what they're saying is, you know, or to know, which, you know, makes sense in context if you use that word right as they would use it. Glory to God. That's free, no charge. But at any rate, this word is that same word. But that word was also used when it was talking about, for example, two people who intimately knew each other. We'll say like a husband and wife will intimately know each other. That word would say that the way they would use it is that person would yada the other person. Glory to God. They yada'd the other person, I guess, in the American way of my way of saying it, glory to God. And so they would know them, and that's literally what it meant. They knew them intimately. And so I think it's so interesting that God uses the same word when he talks about knowing us, that God knows us intimately. And we think about it like from that standpoint. Now, we don't get weird and make, you know, some kind of weird sexual cult out of it. That's what some people have sure have done that stuff too. But what we're talking about here is God knows us in the most intimate level. How many know that that's one of the most intimate things that two people can experience together? And God's saying that I want to know, and I do know my people, my sheep, that way. Amen. How awesome is that? And so this is the Greek version of that same word. I don't know what the word is in Greek, but it doesn't really matter. It's know in English. Amen. So he says, I know them. I intimately know my sheep. Now listen, we can't intimately know somebody unless you are around somebody, unless you, like two people, you know, we talk about how long distance relationships, people have always often said this, how long distance relationships don't really work. And why don't they generally work? Why do you think it is that they don't generally work? Because as people are separated, they don't have time to build that intimacy, amen? You know, when my wife and I first met, she lived in Buffalo and I lived here in this area, and I didn't have any money to travel back and forth, and she was busy with school and stuff. And so all we had was our cell phones, is we could talk in the evening, and we had to wait till 9 o'clock at night, because that's when, you know, back then we still had minutes. Does anybody remember minutes with cell phones? Amen. When you could only talk a certain number of minutes a day. In fact, you would get so mad if somebody would call you and waste a minute, amen, saying something that they could have just, you know, said something really quick for. But this is things that our kids probably won't know much about. But this was when we were advancing into technology. So that's what it looked like for us. But we would wait till 9 o'clock, because after 9, it was free to talk on the phone, and unlimited minutes after 9. So we would call after 9 and we would sit there and we would talk. And I had the only charger I had that worked was in my truck. And that charger, because my connection was loose, I had to hold it just a certain way. So we would literally talk for like three and a half hours straight, and I would be not moving. I wish you could all see me now with that flip phone opened up to my ear and not moving, kind of crouched over in my truck just to talk to my wife. But she wasn't my wife yet, but praise the Lord, I wanted her to be, amen. And but we would have these long conversations, and why would we spend all this time talking to each other? Because it was the only thing we had, and we wanted to build that intimacy. And I'm going to tell you that in that time period, some of the greatest parts of our relationship were formed and started in that time period when we couldn't be together, but we were still forcing ourselves to be intimate with each other as best that we could. And I bring that up because we understand that when there's a separation, if she had just went her way and I just went my way and we just did our own things, you know, maybe we wouldn't have been so excited about getting together and stuff like that. But this is how God looks at us. He's given us his word, so we always have a way to contact him. Because a lot of people are like, I don't even know how to speak to God. A lot of people are like, I don't even know where to start with God. He said, I've written you a whole book. Amen. I've given you a whole book that you can start finding me. If you just open it, start reading it. Praise the Lord. And if you just find it. And then he's even put inspired people to give it out. And so there's people, I remember when I was a kid, the Gideons would stand outside schools and they would give out the New Testament and the Psalms to kids. I remember I got several of them over the years. Probably I still have them in a box somewhere. But how wonderful is that? That's God just trying to reach out to his people. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. See, if Jesus, if you can hear Jesus' voice and he knows you, then by default, that means that you also know him. And you'll hear his voice and you'll follow him. Amen? It is so important that we be people who have a heart to follow Jesus. That we have a heart to follow what God wants to do. It is imperative that we are people that have a heart to follow Jesus. I think that right now, what this time has shown us, you know, Reverend Greer, have we shared it some of We shared it on our Facebook page, so please, if you get a chance, go read. If you don't follow Reverend Greer, go read the things that the Lord has showed him about this time period. But one of the things that was really interesting is that there was a time where people, you can be, there's some people that you have to argue with them to get them into church. And now there's a time where they're saying, no, you can't go to church. And now people are clamoring, trying to get in. They're saying, let me in, let me in. Wait a minute, I don't want to lose this. I don't want to lose this ability. You know, the Lord is using this time period to show us there is an importance, but we need to hear him. We need to listen to what God is saying. Now, God, again, did not cause the coronavirus. He did not bring this to the earth. Amen. But God is going to use it. He is using it as a wake-up call for the churches. He is using this time period to have you reevaluate, look at your life, reevaluate your life and say, am I hearing God? Am I listening to God? Have I connected with what God wants to do? Amen. God, again, does not want to do the coronavirus. He does not want to start this thing rolling. But he wants to do other things through us, and he needs us to hear him. Amen? Glory to God. But we have to have be people that are first and foremost have the desire to hear him. Do you have a desire to hear from God? Do you say to yourself, I want to know what you want me to do, what God wants me to do? I was saying to God even this morning, God, help me to work on bettering myself in this specific area. Amen? Even this morning, I was looking out and I'm like, God, I just want to be, actually, you want to, I'll just be upfront and honest about what it is. I was telling the Lord, I just want to have a better attitude about everything. I just want to walk through life with a better attitude. Why? Because a good attitude reflects my Heavenly Father. That's what I want to show the world. I want to see the world look at me. And when people meet me, I want them to see me every time. I don't want them to ever see me flustered. Because I want my attitude to be just so. I don't want to be looking at something and be like, oh, great, we got this going on. No, not at all. This is opportunity for us. This is opportunity for the church. This is opportunity for us to reset, to look at our lives and say, you know what? I want to do it better, praise the Lord. And any Christian who doesn't is just a Christian who doesn't care much. Amen? We need to take times of adversity and turn them around. God said that he'll use them for our good. Why don't we use them for our good? Amen. Hallelujah. Why don't we use adverse times for our good? Well, you say, how do we do that? Use it as a way to reflect. Man, you got more time. You got nothing but time now. Praise the Lord. Now listen, you can take a little bit of time out of your Netflix binging, and you can seek God for a few minutes. It ain't going to hurt nothing. Praise the Lord. Most people are, I mean, there's so many people now that are even getting paid more than what they did when they worked just to stay at home. Praise God. Hallelujah. This is an opportunity for you. Listen, if you don't have anything to go, if you don't have anywhere to go, it's opportunity for you. What's it opportunity for? Get the direction of God. God hasn't left you or forsaken you. He's the one that causes all the blessing. He's the one who's the end of this coronavirus, praise the Lord, or any other virus, or any other trouble, or any other trial that comes up. It doesn't matter what it is. This is just something that's inflated for the moment, but God's going to deflate it. How do we know this? Because he always does. God always takes care of his people. At least for the church it will be. But let's stand up and start listening to God. Turn with me to Matthew. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Turn with me to Matthew 13. We're doing a little searching in the Gospels today. Matthew 13, starting in verse 10. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. I'm in Mark. Not Matthew. I need to go to Matthew too, otherwise I'll be reading different scriptures than you are. Praise God. Similar, yeah, but different. Matthew 13, verse 10. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Matthew 13:10, and the disciples came and said to Jesus, "Why do you speak to them in parables?" Praise God. Why do you speak to them in parables? And he answered and said to them, "Because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. For whoever has, to him more will be given, and he will have an abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. Therefore, I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand." I want to stop right there for a second. These scriptures always used to bother me. These scriptures, I'm like, well, why would he take from one who doesn't have and not give them more? Well, we have to understand the context of what he's talking about here. What he's talking about is here, he's talking about people who have had opportunity to hear from God. They have had opportunity to understand God, to understand his ways. They've had opportunity to understand what God wants from them, what God wants to do for them, praise the Lord. And they're people who have rejected it. That's exactly what they are. And that's what he's saying. If you have the desire, then more will be given to you for that. But if you have not had the desire, if you've rejected the desire, if you've been, if you've busied yourself with other things, then even what you have is going to be taken from you. And I've seen this so much in life. As a pastor, I've seen this in just a few years of pastoring. One of the things that I've seen over and over and over again is when people come in, there's a few different types of people you get. You get people that come in and get connected and get sold out for God. And then you have people that come in and they get connected for a time, but then something else bigger, something else better, or just something they didn't happen exactly the way they wanted it to, and they move on. Now, I'm not saying those are the only two types of people, but these are predominantly the types of people that I've seen as a pastor. And I know talking to other pastors, they see the same thing. Now, sometimes those people that have come in and they're not, they've gotten excited and they kind of fell away a little bit, sometimes they'll come back, but a lot of times people don't. And what I've noticed is that people will come in for a time, and I have some in particular that I'm thinking about, and I want to tell you about the situation. I won't talk about the person. Some of you may know them, but I want to talk about the situation just so you understand. The person came in who needed the Lord, and they came in, and I spent lots and lots of time with this person and talking with them and helping them and trying to teach them the word. But one of the things that I noticed early on was they wanted their help. They wanted help from something, but this person, they weren't completely sold out to God. They weren't completely sold out to the idea of God. Like, yes, they believed in God. They believed God could help, but they didn't completely sell out the idea of living as a Christian. And so they still held on very closely to things in their life that weren't Christian. They did so often in secret when they knew that, or they didn't think that, I mean, I'm just using a quote for those of you who can't see me, but they didn't think that I would approve, so they didn't talk about them with me, but they did talk about them with other people around. I knew about it anyways. And of course, the thing was, is I wasn't ever trying to judge them, but the truth of the matter is this, is when we come in, when we start learning about God, one of the things you're going to learn is that you weren't perfect. And that some of the trials that you went through life, in fact, probably most of the trials that you went through in life, probably had something a lot to do with the way that you decided to act upon it. I know for me personally, I can say probably 99% of the trials that I went through in life were things I went through because I didn't respond correctly. And I didn't know how to respond, but that's why it happened that way. I'm not saying that the attack hasn't come from an outside entity or force. Of course it does. but we have to learn how to respond to those things. And our response is what will determine whether or not something has victory over us or not. It's just the way that it is. And so most of us, when we come in, we didn't know how to respond correctly. And so this person struggled and struggled and struggled with some things, but the reason they struggled is because they never responded correctly. They never sold out to the word. And when, you know, there's certain things, if you ever read through the word and something was maybe a little bit hard for you to take, and so you're like, well, I'm just going to kind of skip over that part and forget about that. Yeah. See, that's what a lot of Christians are doing nowadays, and this is why a lot of Christians are lacking the power of God. Because you can't just skip over the word and ignore it and say, well, that rubs me the wrong way, so I'm going to think something differently. No, because truth is truth, regardless of whether you like it or not. Amen? sometimes the truth, I don't like it so much that I just want to quit. Had that happen in the last few weeks. I've had that happen where I didn't like the truth that I was learning all at once. But the truth is I'm not going to quit, so I just continued on. I got over myself, and I responded correctly eventually, amen? And so that's good too, amen? Praise the Lord. But this person, they didn't respond, they didn't fully respond to the word. And then what they started seeing is they started seeing some of these issues in their life started resurfacing, even though God had given them ability to surpass it and get past it and bypass it, all these things. These things started creeping in on them, and pretty soon it overtook them. And then they started thinking, well, if it overtook me once, then maybe God's power isn't as true as I thought. And so they started started backpedaling. And it's like the pastoral thing. You see, you know, it's one thing if people start in the back of the church and stay back there. It's another thing when you're in the front of the church and you start moving back. And then all of a sudden you start missing services. And then all of a sudden you're not there at all. And what is this? This is a person who is, even what they've had has been taken from them. Because they never grabbed onto it. They never really had the desire. And with this person, as they were leaving, it was with me for quite some time. When this person was leaving, I even sought the Lord on it. And one of the things that he showed me was that this person never fell in love with God, never fell in love with Jesus, never fell in love with what he wanted. See, I love Jesus. And I know that because when I'm moved by things that connect me to him. I'm moved by the things that he does. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm moved by his church and his desire for the church. I'm moved by his sheep, by his people. When I see each one of you, I know we've been staying distant. And I'm not afraid. Praise the Lord, but I've been staying distant mostly for the conscience of other people, even when I come and greet people at their cars. But I'm going to tell you something. If I get any closer, I might just hug you. Because that's what I want to do, praise the Lord. I am that type of person. I'm a hugger, praise the Lord. You know that about me. My wife, not so much, but I certainly am. Glory to God and praise the Lord. But, I do that for the conscience of the people, but my heart is tender towards the people of God. My heart wants to be with the people of God, amen? Glory to God. But see, this person didn't have that, and so they fell away. And I've seen this kind of thing numerous times. I've seen it in different levels. Sometimes it doesn't take as long. Sometimes it could take longer, you know. My pastor always told me, he says, there seems to be something about 2, 5, and 7 years where people are really tested in their faith and tested to be drawn away. Amen. Praise the Lord. And I've seen that just in the few years that we've been doing this. So praise God. It's just the truth. And so we see that that even what they had has been taken away. See, God wants us to have, his desire is us to have, not to take away. But God isn't, you know, the Bible instructs us not to cast our pearls before swine. So God certainly isn't going to. In other words, if somebody's just going to trample the word of God, he isn't going to give them great revelation on it. If you're just going to be like, it's true, maybe it's true, maybe some of it's true, whatever, he isn't going to give you any deep, great revelation of it. If you want to hear from God, you have to put a premium on God's word. I said, if you want to hear from God, you have to put a premium on God's word. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. In case you wonder why I'm just taking a second, I have to take a sip of water. Again, I do that for the radio people online. They're like, why are you telling us that? We can see you. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And so God wants us to have, he wants us to be full. He wants us to walk in what he has, but we have to desire it. God is not just, yes, it's free, but it's not free to be trampled upon. It's free, but it's not free to be taken lightly. The gift that Jesus has paid for us is a free gift, but that doesn't mean it's just something that you can take and then do whatever you want with it. Amen. That's not the way God works. And so in this time, it's time to listen to this. Amen? It's time for us to listen to what God is saying. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Verse 13, therefore I speak to them in parables because seeing they do not see and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. And it goes on, verse 14, to explain why. And in them the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, hearing you will hear and shall not understand, and seeing you will see and not perceive. For, praise the Lord, for the hearts of this people have grown dull, and their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn, so that I should heal them. But blessed are you Blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, they hear. Glory to God. Now, he was talking to his disciples. What happened with his disciples? We know as we read about the Gospels, as we read through the Gospels, we see the disciples make some pretty bad decisions sometimes, don't we? But one of the things we know about them is that when Jesus first saw them and he said, follow me, they instantly followed him. They stopped what they were doing and they said, nope, I'm going with God. I'm going with this. I'm going with what's right here. Praise the Lord. They heard God's voice because they had a heart to hear it. And we determine whether or not we have a heart by whether or not we close our eyes to it. Do we turn our eyes away from God is doing? Do we turn our eyes away and say, well, this, you know, I don't know if I really feel like doing this, or I would rather have this, or I would rather do these things. Listen, there's lots of things that most of us would rather do in life than to wake up Sunday morning and go to church. Praise the Lord. Just in the flesh, there's lots of things that we would rather do than that. But see, we understand that coming together, we're making a connection with our Heavenly Father. And because we understand that, or if you don't, well, then you need to start understanding that. You come together as a body. When it says that where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there in the midst. God is not, he's telling us that he wants us to come together to be with him. He's saying, listen, if you guys will come together, I'll be there with you. And then we can intimately learn about each other. You can learn about me and I can know you and that I can guide you and show you the path of life. Hallelujah. But see, some people are so casual about the local church. They're like, yeah, take it or leave it. I got busy, you know, I just got distracted. I got this or I got that. See, you haven't made the transition in your heart yet that you are going to a place where the creator of everything wants to interact and speak with you. And he's going to start right here in these seats. He's going to start right there in the seats out there in the parking lot, praise the Lord. Because do you realize that the people, I'm going to encourage you, if any of my people are watching online, I'm going to encourage you today, praise the Lord. Get to the local church. If you can get here, now I understand sometimes there's circumstances that keep us from being able to do so and for a time, and that's understandable. But I will tell you this, there is no circumstance that's permanent. And there should be no circumstance that's permanent. Right. Amen. Right. I said there's no circumstance that is permanently should permanently take you out of the local church. If that's the case, then you're out of faith, praise the Lord, and you're not pleasing the Lord. You're out of the direction. You're out of the will of God. You need to get back into it. But I'm encouraging my people, if it is possible, get in your car on Sunday morning, get down here and listen. Praise the Lord. Why? Because that is you making a decision to still show up. That is you making a decision to still connect to what God is doing. It is good that you have come down here. It's good that you tune in. I'm not saying that. But I'm just saying there is something about the gathering together of God's people that matters. Even if we're a little bit distanced, even if we're socially distanced for a little while, praise the Lord. There is an importance to coming together. And so you're doing right, amen, to do so. Come together. Make sure that you get that. You know, praise God, hallelujah. I just can't stress that enough. And it's about the heart. Remember, it's always about the heart. You know, the last thing that I want to do on any day, like you can ask my wife, half the time one of the things that I battle and getting ready, I've even said this to my wife, I don't mind like going to church tonight. I just don't want to wear a suit. I just don't want to go through all this stuff. I just want to show up in sweatpants. It's just what, because that's me. Amen. Praise the Lord. I don't show up in a suit for me. I do it for God. And I'm talking as the minister. Okay? I'm not saying that everybody that comes into church needs to wear a suit and stuff like that. But I'm talking about my heart towards God is to come bringing God my best, is to come showing up ready for God to speak. Amen. If I knew that Jesus was going to walk into town today, you better believe I'd probably go buy a brand new outfit and put it on. Amen. And so I want to have that same attitude when I come, even though we don't necessarily see Jesus every week. We understand in the sense of physically seeing him walking the aisles, praise the Lord, I'm still meeting with my Lord, hallelujah. And that's what, and I'm right, come ready to hear. This is another thing, not just how you dress or come, you know, or whatever. And please don't take this as me saying that you're not dressed right. I'm not saying that at all, praise the Lord. I'm talking about just have a heart that's for God, that's honoring God. Amen. When you come to church, you know, it's great when people come here and there's laughter and things like that, but we need to come with reverence, knowing that the house, the sanctuary of God, this isn't a playground. This isn't a place where we come to and talk about the best sporting games or the things that happened on TV last night. You know, this is a place where we're about to meet with God. And so we need to come with a reverence and an understanding that, wait a minute, this is a holy place. That this is a place where we come here from our Lord. It's holy. It needs to be clean and sanctified, a glory to God. And so we need to clean. Do you realize that the priests, before they would go into the temple, had to wash themselves before they went into the temple? That the people who originally, the scribes that originally translated the Bible and would write it down or write it down page after page, before they would write one word out of the Word of God, they would wash their hands. Praise the Lord. Why did they do that? They did that out of reverence for God. They did that to say, I reverence God so much that I won't even touch the pages of his book, of his writing, praise the Lord, with dirty hands. Isn't that awesome? Praise the Lord. But see, what is that saying? Should we put a hand washing station out front? Well, maybe we should nowadays. I don't know. But that's not what I'm talking about. The point is that people had a reverence for it. It meant so much for them. We can't get dogmatic about these things and make rules. I'm not saying that. I'm not going to, listen, there may be a day, and certainly, well, there was a day where I preached without a suit on. We preached in Corey once, and we had an open air thing, and I wasn't going to wear a suit out in the woods. I just wasn't going to do it. Amen? Praise the Lord. And I didn't feel convicted about doing so. Although some people tried to say something, not in our church, but some people tried to say something, but it doesn't really matter anyways. Praise the Lord. The thing is about the heart. Do you bring God your best? Is your heart there ready to listen, to hear from God? Have you come to God? Do you approach God from that standpoint? I want to hear, Jesus, what you have to say to me. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Romans 10:16-17. It says, Romans 10:16-17, if you're writing it down. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. They have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? Notice this. The man of God was saying, Lord, who's believed my report? You know, sometimes as a pastor, when I say things to people, I can see them bouncing right off their heads. I can see him going right in one ear and out the other, bouncing off the back wall, coming back and hitting me in the face and saying, ha ha, sucker, I didn't listen to you. I'm seeing it. I'm just telling the truth. Praise the Lord. I'm gonna tell you something. When my pastor says something to me, I heed it. When my pastor says something to me personally, I don't just throw it out. I heed it. Even if it's something I don't completely agree with, I heed it. What do I mean I heed it? I think about it. I listen to it. I think, is this my direction? Is this the direction of God? I put such a premium on what is said to me by the people that God has put over me spiritually that I listen to what they're saying because I know that they know something I don't know. Now, that doesn't mean I've done every single thing. There's been examples of when my pastor has directed me in a certain way and I knew that I had to do something differently. And he has even preached about a similar situation where it's happened with him and his pastor agreed with it. Praise the Lord, later on they knew it. But I'm telling you that those things are generally few and far between. Most of what I talk to my pastor about, when I go to my pastor, I still go to my pastor. Still today, I have a pastor and I go to him, amen? And I'll go to him and I'll say, Pastor, what about this or this is on my heart? And he's like, exactly, I've been talking about the same thing or I've been thinking the same thing. You know, and what I'm getting there is confirmation that God's speaking to me and that he's speaking to somebody else too. And so I can verify things. But because I have a heart to hear from my pastor, I do. You know what was awesome is there was a time not too long ago I was with him. We were doing something just totally mundane. It was nothing. It was just, it was a total fun type of thing. It had nothing to do with anything spiritual whatsoever. But you know, as I was sitting there and as I was riding with my pastor, all of a sudden he started speaking and I recognized God's voice in it. And so I pulled out my phone and I started taking notes. Glory to God. Why? Because I still take notes when I'm with my pastor. Listen, if you meet with me and you don't take notes, that means you don't care really what is being said. Now, I'm not saying that we have to get freaky about it, like that we have to get so dogmatic about it that if we didn't have something, you know, but we need to understand that there's things that will be said to us in those moments. Do you know how many times I have sat with people and I've talked with them, and as I was talking to them, I've had the same thought go through my heart. Man, I wish I had this on recording because it was the Spirit of God. I recognize it as that. They didn't even, but I recognize it as the Spirit of God. I said, I wish I had this. I wish I had this on recording so I could go back and make notes so I could preach it. because other people need to hear the same thing. Do you realize how many times that putting the demand will draw that out? Amen? And that's all a desire to hear from God. When you understand that your man or woman of God, praise the Lord, has been put in your life to be a voice piece from the Father to you, that's another way. It's not the only way. It's not the greatest way. But it is another way that you will hear from God. And when you put a demand on it, when you put a praise God, I don't know, I didn't plan to say any of this, but praise the Lord for it. This is helping you. Glory to God. It's certainly helping me in solidifying things. Who has believed our report? Praise the Lord. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. How are you going to hear the word of God? Praise the Lord. When you sit and listen to the word of God. Now, why is it important to be connected to a church? And let me just tell you this. Because just as anything else, Jesus said, my sheep know my voice. Praise the Lord. My sheep know my voice. Why do they know his voice? Because they've heard it. Praise the Lord. When you find a place that you trust, when you find a place that you're connected to, what you're going to do is you're going to hear the voice of God. God will start using people to speak through your life. Do you know there's certain that are maybe good ministers that I can't receive from because I haven't received from them? Yes, absolutely. There are certain people that will preach certain things and I can't receive it because I don't receive it. Yeah, it's just the truth. Amen. Praise the Lord. You will receive what you receive. And I'm not trying to just talk about ministers or anything like that, but we have to understand that there's ways that God has set up for us to hear, for us to be able to receive. He will give us direction through the pulpit. Amen. He gives me direction through the same pulpit. By ministering to you, God is speaking to me as well. And so in a time like this, these messages are stirring me as well, because as God is using me as a mouthpiece, praise the Lord, he's also speaking to my heart and showing me things and revealing things to me and taking me higher spiritually. Glory to God. Just like he is with you. So the gift isn't just for you. It's for all of us. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Do you exalt what you know or what the world knows above the word of God? And this is a question that we have to ask ourselves. Do you exalt what you know or you think that you know or the things that you've learned in the world or the things that the world does? Do you exalt all that knowledge above the knowledge of God? Do you exalt it above what God has said, or do you exalt God's knowledge above that? Amen. What do I mean by that? I mean, when the world tells you to do something and the church tells you to do something, you always go with what the world tells you to do. Yeah. Or your instinct tells you, listen, it's up to all of us to know where we're connected. But once you know you're connected, you don't lose your connection. What do? You ensure the connection. Amen. When you find power, glory to God, you connect to the power and you don't let that go for no reason. Amen. You tie a knot in the extension cord. You know what I'm saying? Praise the Lord. I use power tools and I use it a handsaw or like a circular saw. And one of the things I do, especially if I'm climbing up on a ladder using a circular saw, which doesn't sound really safe and probably isn't, but sometimes you got to do that. What do I do? I tie a little knot in the cord, the ends of the two cord, because there's nothing worse than being in a place where you're trying to cut something and then all of a sudden the cord comes unplugged. You lose the power. Amen. And so you tie that little knot in there, not a tight knot so you don't ruin the cords, but you tie a loose knot just so if it tugs a little bit, it can't pull it out. Praise the Lord. Well, it's just, tricks of the trade. Praise the Lord. It's the same thing with church, man. Praise the Lord. When you find something good, you tie that knot. You say, I'm connected. Why do we call a marriage tying the knot? Marriage is a good thing. It's one of the greatest gifts that God has given us on the earth besides, I would say it's the second greatest gift that God has given us besides Jesus. Yeah, I believe that with my heart. Amen. Marriage is that why do we call it, why is it always called tying the knot? Well, it's kind of the same idea that you're tying two things together. I mean, I'm sure that there's some kind of ritual for it, but I'm thinking about it now from the standpoint that you're tying two things together that shouldn't be easily separated. Amen. What do we know about knots? They're not necessarily easily separated. That they hold, even when there's force being pulled against it, amen? And the same thing happens with the people of God. The people of God who connect to the work of God, that connect to what God is doing, that connect to the church. Again, praise the Lord. There's been people, I think one in particular, that there's a sister and brother of the faith, praise the Lord, and for specific reasons that they had to not be here for a time. Glory to God. But you know, they haven't ceased their connection. Made sure that they are going to keep that connection. They have fostered that connection. Praise the Lord. They're faithful in that connection. Glory to God. And there are people that will be blessed, but they know that it's just for a time. But, and that's what I'm saying. I'm not trying to put bondages on people. Amen. Because certainly the house of God is not bondage. If you hear me, somebody has left us, or they use this as an excuse. This wasn't the excuse, because I preached too much about the importance of being in church. Well, listen, if you understand what I'm trying to do, I'm trying to help you. I'm not trying to hurt you. But all the problems that you're dealing with in life are because you haven't connected, or because you've been losing the connection. Praise the Lord. And that's why we keep preaching along those lines. It's not to put you in bondage. Listen. Listen, if you aren't here and don't do your part, God will send somebody who will. So, but I want it for you. Amen. We want it for you. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, praise the Lord. I got to get to this. Yeah, we got a few more minutes here. Don't exalt what you know. Turn to 2 Chronicles 7. Now, we know these scriptures, but I haven't gone into them as far as I'm going to today. And I'm really excited about this, because of something God showed me in these that I didn't fully see before. Now, 2 Chronicles 7, we all know this is, you know, the he'll heal our land scriptures, you know, if my people were called by my name. That's what we're going to find in here. But in context, what happened is, this is God speaking to Solomon. Right after Solomon built the temple, amen? And so this is where we pick it up, praise the Lord. And so he appears to Solomon. We're going to start 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 12. Praise the Lord. We're going to pick it up in verse 12. And we're going to see something here that's really interesting. We're going to read through verse 16. Then the Lord, see, this is why it's always important too. I mean, sometimes for the sake of the message, we may just pull a scripture out. But even if there's a scripture that you love that's just one little scripture, read it in context. Get the context, because God will speak to you about all the things around it. Because it's always deeper than what you think. Amen. And then the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said to him, I have heard your prayer and have chosen this place for myself as a house of sacrifice. Now he's talking about the temple specifically, right? The temple that he just built. So he said, I've heard your prayer and I've chosen this place as a house of sacrifice. In other words, this is the place where I'm going to meet with my people. Amen. Because they had to make sacrifices back then to cover for their sins. We know that Jesus has been the atoning sacrifice for our sins. So he was one sacrifice for all. Amen. And so, but this is how they had to do it. But let's get the principle out of it. Verse 13. When I shut up heaven and there is no rain, or command the locusts to devour the land, or send pestilence among my people. Wow. Now, listen, this is pretty interesting. Now, we understand that in translation, there are a few things that are lost. God is not sending the pestilence. Amen. But he is allowing these things to be. God is not shutting up the heavens with no rain. He said, the Bible says he causes it to rain on the just and the unjust. This is a translational error or a translational thing. It's what it's really trying to express is the idea or the of what God is allowing, what's happening, amen? And so we have to look at that right. We have to understand that, amen? Or command the locusts to devour the land, or send pestilence among my people. If my people who are called by my name, this is a scripture we love, right? But one of the things that stood out to me about that is the pestilence being sent. We are in a pestilence right now. This is a time where God is using a pestilence to wake the church up. Praise the Lord. And that's exactly it. But he said, in that time period, in the pestilence. So whether you believe, even if you're like, Pastor Jeff, I don't believe you about that translational stuff, regardless, let's just look at it for what it says here. The pestilence that is among his people, amen? He says, if my people, in that pestilence, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Bunch of ands in there, amen? So they got to turn, they got to humble themselves, amen? Only the people that are called by his name. My sheep know my voice. They hear my voice, praise the Lord. And I know them, my people who are called by my name. Do you know your God's people? As a Christian, do you know that you're God's people, amen? It's important to know these things, amen? If my people are called by my name, if they'll first humble themselves, lower themselves in their own estimation. What is that? Well, you know, I know Netflix is running this special right now, but I need to spend some time in prayer. I need to back off. I need to spend a little bit of time with God, because I've been out of it. I've been real busy. That's humbling yourself. It's bringing yourself to that place where you are lowering you. Listen, whenever you put down what you want to do and you bring up God, you're humbling yourself. That's what it's talking about. You want the end of the pestilence? Then you're going to need to do some things. And the first thing is you're going to have to start with humbling yourself. You're going to have to look at yourself or you will be humbled, which is exactly what just happened to the church. The church has been humbled. Okay, you don't want to take the church of God seriously? Here, let's close them all up. I'm just telling you the truth right now. You don't want to take it seriously? What if we take it away from you? Yeah, because that's exactly, now I'm not saying that that's the goal of the whole government, but I can tell you some in government have actually been trying to do that. They've been, the mayor of New York City, praise the Lord for us not being in New York City, he's saying if even if you have the drive-in churches, we're gonna close your church and take your building. And there's people that are standing in line to back people like that. Yeah, it's serious, folks. What happens when they tell you you can't worship God? And then the devil really pours out something bad on you. People are going to run to God, but listen, we don't want it to be too late. Humble yourself and pray and seek my face and turn from your wicked ways. Listen, when it says wicked ways, it doesn't mean Hitler out there slaughtering the Jews. Wicked means evil. It means anything that is against God, anything other than what God has told you to do. Praise the Lord. If you have been off, if you've been doing things that God has not been, if God's been dealing with your heart, you know what that prick in your conscience is? When you're about to do something and you know it's not, when you're about to do something and you're like, oh, I know it's not right, but I'm going to do it anyways. That's that prick in the conscience, amen? That's God talking to you, amen? Turn from those wicked ways. Stop doing them. How do you stop sin? You deal with it in the moment. When you're feeling that press and you know it's wrong, don't do it. Amen? Glory to God. He goes, then I will hear from heaven and forgive their sins and heal their land. Then I will. But see, there's all these other things that have to be a prerequisite to that. Amen? But we have to understand that God wants to meet us. That's what the scripture's telling us. I have chosen this place, he said. Amen? Now my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to prayer made in this place, in that temple, right? This is good. Amen? We're getting somewhere good here. For now I have chosen and sanctified this house that my name may be there forever. My ears and my heart will be there perpetually in the temple of God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Oh, some of you know where I'm going to go with this. Praise God. Because God has sanctified his temple. God has made his temple a place where he wants to be. But we have to be willing to listen. We have to be willing to do it. Now, real quickly, we're going to flip over to 1 Corinthians. Praise the Lord. Chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. I don't think we sent out the scriptures. In fact, I know that we didn't, but if you do want them, again, just reach out to us after the service and we will make sure that we send them. Reach out to us via email or text or something like that so we have something tangible to read. Amen. Sometimes if you just tell me, I'll forget about it just because, you know, I just preached a message. Praise the Lord. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19. Amen. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? This is what Jesus did. Hallelujah. This is, you say, well, I want an Easter message. This is your Easter message. Open up. This is what Jesus did. When Jesus died on the cross, praise the Lord, the temple, the veil of the temple was torn. The Holy of Holies was open. Praise the Lord. And God said, I will no longer live in temples made with human hands. And Jesus said, I am making you, the Christians, I am making you, the believers in God, I am making you the temple of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. This is the place. Glory to God. Now you have the temple with you. Praise the Lord. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. They don't belong to you anymore. Amen? Praise the Lord. Folks, hear the word of the Lord. I said, hear the word of the Lord. I can say, thus saith the Lord, because I just took it out of his words. Amen? Thus saith the Lord, you are his temple. Glorify God in your body. Praise the Lord. Start glorifying God in the way you live your life. Bring glory to God, and he will heal the land. He will hear your prayers. He will be open to you, because he'll know you. Praise the Lord. This is what God desires, but you need to desire it to you too. Amen? How you live in this body is whether you honor or defile the temple of God. I said, how you live in this body is you determining whether you will honor or defile the temple. Praise God. You know, most people, they would be appalled if somebody came up and spit on a church. they spit on it, you know, came in and spit on the altar. Go to any Catholic church and do that. Spit on the altar. Spit on a statue in a Catholic church. A statue of Mary in a Catholic church. And people would, they'd probably skin you alive. Yeah, or they'd definitely have you removed, but they'd probably skin you alive. There'd be people would be up in arms about that. But think about what people do with the real temple, which is the body. Think about what people do with that all the time, how they defile and dishonor God by their living, just living the way that they want to live and just not even considering what the word says. And they're just going out and they're doing things. They're fornicating and they're adultering and they're doing all these horrible things with their bodies. Praise the Lord. They're just sinning. They're out there doing these things. They're lying. They're cheating. This is Christians doing this. I'm talking about Christians doing this. I'm not talking about the world. They do it because they're dead. But you've been made alive in Christ. Do you live that way or do you know what I mean? This is how they're out there, you know, guzzling alcohol, bringing all these things into the temple. What would you think about that? You came in to hear a message and I'm standing up here with a bottle of whiskey. You would just be people that'd make the news. What about if the priest was up there with, said, we're not going to have church today. We're going to line up shots right here on the altar of God. We're going to line up shots and we're just going to get drunk. We're going to get toasted. How good does that sound? Praise the Lord. But yet Christians are doing that all the time in the temple. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Saying, how would you think if you went to the local drug dealer's house? In your neighborhood, you know your neighborhood drug dealer, praise the Lord. You go to your neighborhood drug dealer's house, praise the Lord, and you bring the Bible in there, and you maybe tear out a page of the Bible, and you roll up a joint with the Bible. I've known people have done that kind of thing. You roll a joint with a page from the Bible. Doesn't sound very good, does it? Yeah. What do you think a Christian's doing when they're taking it and toking it? And what they're doing is they're bringing it into their body. They're defiling the temple. You see, all these things that we do, all these things that we get when you cheat and you lie. Can you imagine cheating and lying to a priest or a man of God? Or can you imagine cheating or lying to, a nun or something like that? Can you imagine going up to a nun and taking her purse or something like that? I mean, we think about these holy things or things we consider holy, yet people rob God all the time. People rob God in the way that they live, the way that they do, the way they do things. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. It's free, no charge. How you live in this body is whether you honor or defile the temple of God. And so we need to, in this season, we need to be listening to God. We need to listen to what God is doing and say, Lord, I want to follow you. And listen, if you're missing it in an area, don't get in condemnation. Turn it over to God and say, Lord, this is the area I need to work on. And this is what I want to work on. Now help me with it. Praise the Lord. And if you need more help, of course, we're always willing to help. We are never there to look at somebody and say, you're a failure. You're just not doing good. Absolutely not. I mean, in fact, any of these people that have even said bad, nasty things about us, even the worst vile things, if they came to us and said, I just need help, my God, we would do anything we could to help them. Amen? Praise the Lord. I'm going to close with James 4:7. Just take it down in your notes. We won't even turn there. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Praise the Lord. Folks, we want the attack to stop. We got to start listening to God. But we can't, because we can't submit ourselves to God unless we hear him. We can't submit ourselves to God unless we do what he's telling us to do. How can you submit to someone if you don't even know what they want you to submit to? And so we have if we want the devil to stop, we have to submit to God. We have to resist him. Amen? Father, we thank you for this time together. We thank you, Lord, for all the things that we were that we have together, Lord. We thank you for your glory, your honor. We thank you for your love, Lord. Father, I don't know who's watching or who's turning in. And so we want to take an opportunity in this season, especially, Lord. We want to take an opportunity for people to know you, God. Now, maybe you come here or listen here to this today and you don't know God. If you're out there and you say, I've never made a choice to follow the Lord. I'm just kind of checking in, but you've heard the message and you're like, you know what? I want to be able to know that God. I want him to know me. If that's you, if you're searching for God, don't go on without knowing. The Bible says it's very clear in Romans 10:9. It says that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. It's a matter of fact. And that is the first step to knowing and hearing from God, is to believe and to accept what his son has done and receive that salvation. So if that's you, if you've never received Jesus, I can't see your hands today, but you'd like to. It doesn't mean you're joining this church, but I just want you to right there in your seat, wherever you are, we're going to pray a prayer, and I just want you to pray this prayer with us. and mean it from your heart and just know that God wants it, and God wants to reach you. He wants to help you. And this is the first way. And even in that, that God will find a place that God will connect you with, a place that will teach you the word of God, that will help you discover all that he has for you, because it's great and wonderful things. And so if that's you, if you want to receive Jesus today as your Lord, you want to know that you're going to heaven, right there, wherever you are, just repeat this prayer after me. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for Jesus. I thank you he died for me so I could live for you. Wash me with his blood. Cleanse me from my sins. Be my Lord and Savior all the days of my life. In Jesus' mighty name I pray. Amen and amen. Glory to God. Well, we certainly love you. We thank you all for tuning in, for showing up, for just being connected to what God is doing. God is doing wonderful things. Listen, this is just the beginning of it, folks. There's so much more that God has for us.